Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Practicing basics, consistency in what we're doing.
Guys getting real banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Staples, here on Seminole Sports Radio. Once again, this podcast is sponsored by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville. You've all heard me already talk plenty about Luis and his photography and videography to make your house really sing. If you are in the Jacksonville area, go over to Instagram and take a look at Pixel Perfect Listing. That is Pixel Perfect Listing on Instagram, and take a look at what Luis does for his clients in terms of making those houses look terrific. Also, if you want to make sure you find the best house possible, if you are moving to the greater Jacksonville area, definitely give Luis a call. He'll make sure you're hooked up and you get the best possible deal. Let him know you found him through this podcast. Help us out a lot. So let's go ahead and get to it. I am about to leave town, so there's not a whole lot. I'm not going to go very long on this podcast. This will probably be the shortest podcast in the last couple of years, actually. Partly because there's frankly not a whole lot to talk about in other than rehashing the NC State loss, and I just don't want to get into that too much. And yes, listen, there's a lot of criticisms to make. There's a lot of things, even down to some of the stuff that I didn't get into in the last podcast in terms of game management, you know, kicking the field goal on third down when you've got jumbo receivers and you got a chance to just at least throw it up in the into the end zone, maybe. Throw a jump ball, 50-50 ball, just tell your receiver it can't be intercepted. You can do that stuff, and maybe that gives them a better chance to win. I don't like that they didn't do it. I don't like the decision to kick deep on instead of kicking the onside. You have a better chance of winning even with the small chance that your onside kick is going to come out in your favor. You still got a better chance there than with like 40 seconds left, which is what they would have had they stopped NC State. And you know, don't get me started again about the last play where you let that you miss a gap on that on the last play when you've got to get a stop on a run call because they're going to run the clock out. You can't miss that. Come on. And what's crazy to me is it appeared to me that they were playing that as though they anticipated NC State to run some sort of boot pass, some sort of play action pass, and you just can't guess there like that. You just can't. But anyway, I'm doing already what I said I wouldn't do and getting to talking about the NC State game once again. Instead of previewing a little bit about the Wake Forest game to come, you're going to hear a lot of people tell you that Florida State has a real chance of losing this game, that you know, you're going to even hear people predicting that Florida State's going to lose this game. And listen, you know, there is a very, very slim chance that Florida State could lose this game because Wake Forest is not going to go out there and beat themselves. Wake Forest has a good football team. They've got a more complete football team than they've had in quite a while, and they've played Florida State well the last few years. But Florida State is going to... I'm trying to think of a family-friendly way to say what Florida State is going to do to Wake Forest this weekend. And Florida State is going to beat the brains in of Wake Forest this weekend. That's reality. And what amazes me, this gets back to some of the stuff from the last podcast. And yes, listen, there are things that need to change. Jimbo Fisher would be if he was completely off the record, knew that you weren't going to talk to anybody, knew that there was nothing that was going to get out, and you know, knew that it wasn't going to impact his team at all. And I guarantee you that Jimbo Fisher would say, yeah, you know, looks like we're going to need to make some changes. Changes are going to be made. And some of them were going to be made regardless of the results of this season, because not every coach was going to come back anyway. But guys and girls, ladies, men, you know, the children of Israel and most of the adults, right? Yeah, maybe five of you will get that. But I keep hearing people talk about Florida State as though this team is getting... There have been people who've been talking about them potentially not making a bowl this year. Seriously, come on. This is still a top 10 football team. With James Blackman starting and his first road start, this is still one of the three or four best defenses in the country, if not the best. This is still a team that is going to run roughshod over Wake Forest this weekend. Now, they may not score a ton of points. It may not be one of those, 54-0 type wins, especially on the road and in Blackman's first road start. But I don't think this game's going to be in doubt, people. I think at this point, given the start, a loss to Alabama, which cost, DeAndre Francois as well, 21 days off for everybody to stew on that and forget about lots of stuff, and then that close loss that had no business being a loss to NC State, suddenly everybody's basically treating Florida State like they're an afterthought and they're not a good football team. This is a good football team. And they're playing a pretty good football team. Wake Forest is, they're a good team, but they don't have the players, people. So far this year, they have played Presbyterian, Boston College, Utah State, and Appalachian State, okay? They have not been especially dominant in those games. So think about it. Now, they blew out Utah State, which is pretty impressive. I mean, Utah State got blown out by almost equal margins by Wake Forest and Wisconsin. That tells you something about Wake Forest and how much better they've gotten under Coach Dave Clawson, who is a very impressive guy, super organized guy, impressive guy. But the reality is, listen, they've averaged 6.76 yards per play against Presbyterian, 4.35 yards per play against Boston College, 6.84 against Utah State, not bad against a pretty decent team, and 5.13 yards per play against Appalachian State. Scored 20 points against Appalachian State. Now, yes, on the road, but if you're talking about a team that is going to that is going to beat this Florida State team, a team that's going to go for 5 yards per play against Appalachian State is not going to run up a bunch of points against this Florida State defense. It's not going to happen. They might score 14. They might, something might slip through. We've seen some evidence that this defense, particularly if certain personnel is on the field, might just have a blown assignment here or there and give up a play. But this team is not matching up against Florida State physically like NC State did, and certainly not like Alabama did. They are not going to be able to run the football in this game. Wake Forest will not be able to run the football in this game. They've averaged so far in the running game 5.51 against Presbyterian, 3 yards per carry against Boston College, 4.93 against Utah State, and 4.2 against Appalachian State. They're not going to average over 3.3 or so yards per carry at best against Florida State. And they don't have the downfield passing threats. They've got a pretty dang good, they've got one really good receiver who has been really dominant this year, Greg Dortch, freshman, who's 5'9", 165, and he has been electric. But he's not going to win this game by himself for Wake Forest. You're looking at a guy that, he might give you a little trouble. Maybe he's responsible for a score or two. But the real problem is on the other side. This is not the same defense as last year for Boston College, or for Wake Forest. Sorry, I was looking at their game against Boston College. It's not the same defense that they had last year. First of all, coordinator moved on. He's now at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, by the way, defensively looks a lot better. But this team, this defense, given up 4.52, very good, 4.52 yards per play. Pretty good. But I'm telling you right now, when all said and done after this game, Florida State will have run the football on this team. The last two games, Florida State played against two of probably the top five defensive lines in the country and happened to be playing from behind most of both games. In fact, all of one of them. Those guys aren't walking through the tunnel in Winston-Salem, and Florida State will be able to run the football in this game, and they will run the football in this game. This is going to be the game I'm going to peg as Cam Akers' coming out party. Patrick is going to look pretty good too. You'll probably see some Rasul in this game. But this game is going to be dominated by Florida State's backs and by also Florida State's wide receivers against that secondary. Wake Forest won't beat themselves, but physically they're overmatched in this game. There's not much more to analyze than that. Yes, I know the spread has continued to go down, but that's largely because lots of people have lost faith completely in Florida State, and people are often forgetting the level of talent that's on that sideline and what they're going to be able to do against particularly overmatched teams like this. And I know there are going to be some people out there who are going to hear this podcast and they're going to go, oh, geez, really? Just watch. Just watch. Florida State will remind some people, and the few people who are even paying attention this weekend, of why they were ranked as highly as they were in the preseason. And yes, there's going to be hiccups. Yes, Blackman's probably going to throw his first interception this weekend. Might throw two or three this weekend because this is the kind of secondary that is going to play some games with them, and they've got some ability to do that. But the reality is, if you're Wake Forest and you can't stop Florida State from running the football, and they will not be able to stop Florida State from running the football, which, you know, they were able to do a reasonable job last year against Florida State in the run game. They held Dalvin Cook and company to 3.2 yards per carry. I'm going to tell you right now, Florida State will average over 5 yards a carry in this game, including sack yardage. Raw rushing. So, we'll go with that. There's not much more to say. After this game, there will be a lot more to talk about in terms of analysis. There will be a lot more to analyze. And I'll do a little bit more then, including talking about some of the changes and some of the issues that have emerged. One thing I do want to wrap with is some discussion of the defense. I mentioned at the end of the last podcast, you know, that there's a sense that something's missing, and it has been missing for a while on the Florida State defense. One is that I've talked about this for a couple of years now. When was the last time Florida State really went out and out-hit a team? They were on their way to doing that against Alabama, but that game didn't finish that way. When was the last time they really just went out and out-hit some team and intimidated that team? It's been a long, long time. And that really starts on the defense, and that starts with the mentality. And that's really where a lot of the culture problem is right now in Tallahassee. And I talked about that a lot last year in terms of culture. And some of that, you know, last year seemed like it was due to not having Derwin James in particular and quality leadership on the defensive side. But again, against NC State, it appeared that some of that was missing again. And it's because this defense plays way too much on their heels. And it's not so much a scheme thing. They're running the same basic scheme that they ran with Jeremy Pruitt. And you know, you hear people talk about, oh, Kelly's scheme is terrible. No. Kelly's scheme is basically the same scheme that Jeremy Pruitt ran, regardless of the words that Jeremy Pruitt may use behind the scenes about some of these things. It's the same scheme. The difference, though, and this is something that I think is worth, it's a distinction worth making. The thing that I've noticed, and it's been harder to be able to assess this until this year, because in 2014, there were some issues in terms of personnel, particularly at safety, so you had to scheme around that. 2015, things looked a lot better, but still there were a few issues in terms of not having the full deck. 2016 was, you know, injury apocalypse and all sorts of issues in terms of youth and all that, so it was hard to evaluate. 2017, you got the full deck, so you can evaluate and you can then call back on some of those other things and say, well, you know, is this the way that this is, you know, what does this tell us about the past as well? And the one thing I'll say is, as similar as Kelly's scheme is, basically Kelly's running what Jimbo wants to run, which is the same thing that Pruitt installed. Schematically, it's the same. But there is a difference between scheme and tactics. And where Florida State has been lacking defensively, from the in terms of organization, in terms of coordination, in terms of other things, has been in terms of tactics. And that's where, you know, you get guys that are just playing a beat ahead. And that's one of the things you notice about Alabama. You notice, you can see it a little bit in Athens right now in their defense. You can definitely see it with Venable's defenses, you know, Don Brown's defenses. Those guys are not only good in terms of scheme, but they are master tacticians. And the difference between scheme and tactics is scheme is more like the strategy. I mean, if you're a military buff, which I am, you hear military guys make a distinction between strategy and tactics. Strategy is kind of the big picture. You know, if you're a chess player, strategy is, you know, I'm a Sicilian opening, I'm a Sicilian defense player, right? I'm going to play the Najdorf variation, and I'm going to play this particular approach to the game. These are the principles that we're going to use. These are the things, this is how I'm going to respond to this. But tactics are the in-the-moment, intuitive decisions that are applications of the strategy and the flying by the seat of the pants, the improvisation on the on the basis of the piece at large. So, you know, you could be a really good rhythm guitarist on the basis of good, you know, mechanics and strategy in that sense, if you want to talk about it that way, in that sense. You know, if you know your chords and you know the proper way to play and all that, you could be a good rhythm guitarist, but a great soloist, a great lead guitarist is somebody who not only has that aspect of things down, but can hear what's going on in the music and then all of a sudden just improvise within the framework of that larger strategy, within the framework of the larger scheme, within the framework of the melody. And those guys are a different breed. That's what Florida State's been lacking. That right there is the thing that that has been a little bit frustrating at times, and it's this it's that sense of being just a beat behind in terms of tactics, not in terms of preparation so much, because nobody prepares harder than some of the guys on Florida State's defensive staff. Not in terms of scheme. The scheme is sound. What they're asking these guys to do is generally sound. But in terms of teaching players what to expect based on what they're seeing so that the players are able to digest it and be a beat ahead of what the offense is going to do because, okay, this is how this is going to work. And they can react to it in, you know, a beat ahead because they tactically are able to work within the framework of what you're asking them to do. That's not there. And I wonder at times whether or not they're a little overloaded in terms of what they've been given so that they're still diagnosing when things are actually happening. And then the other thing is just in terms of the specific calls in situations in key moments, that's where tactics come in. And in some of those cases, particularly on Saturday, we saw some cases where Florida State, Eli Drinkwitz basically was better tactically, not so much schematically, the scheme was right. But tactically, the specific call within the framework of each scheme in the moment, he was intuitively guessing right and able to counter what Florida State was doing, and Florida State was always just a little behind, and that shouldn't be. Now, you get a guy like Jimbo Fisher, he understands scheme on both sides about as well as anybody, but one of the things that makes him a special offensive coordinator is his understanding of tactics. Now, he doesn't break it out all the time. He goes by the numbers a lot in games where you don't need it. But in particular, for big games and all that, you talk to coordinators around the country who've coached against him, and they'll talk about that sixth sense. He understands how to wrinkle this or to do that and zig when you're expecting a zag. He is tactically brilliant at times. His timing with calling, you know, screen passes and things like that can be amazing. But that's what Florida State's been missing on the defensive side. And that's something that they need to find a way, whether that's, you know, collaboratively over the course of the rest of the season, finding a way to get that so that they're able to compensate for some of those weaknesses. And then after the season, they need to evaluate how they're gonna address that. But it is the difference between scheme, which is sound, and tactics. And this is not a matter of working for it or anything else. Some of this is innate. Some of it is just is being able to recognize and think like a chess player on the fly. And then the other part is being able to teach your players to do all of that in action, again, on the fly, and to free them up to play fast while they're doing that. And that's really, really hard to do. And it has nothing to do with work ethic, mostly nothing. You can work your tail off and not actually get it done. But again, that's the thing that on my reevaluation, Florida State's been missing. It'll be interesting to see how that goes over the course of the rest of the season. I do think one of the other interesting things here is FSU and Charles Kelly have done a really good job against Clemson in that regard the last couple of years. They've been able to guess right, and their tactics have been on point against Clemson the last couple of years. Last year they ended up basically imploding late after they lost their only remaining quality safety with any experience early in the fourth quarter there, and that cost in the game. But before that, they were basically eating Clemson's lunch offensively. So it'll be interesting to see how that transpires the rest of the year, and whether that affects things over the course of the next how I don't know the best way I don't know the best way to put this, but how that's gonna work out over the course of the rest of the season, because you've seen it at different points where it's there. But more often than not, there have been times where it's not been there. And again, at Florida State, you've got to be able to put your guys in position to tactically play downhill defensively. And they're going to have to find a way to do that. That's one of the big games, one of the big things I'll be looking for against Wake Forest, against an offense that you don't have to really fear. You just have to make sure you don't let the one guy at receiver, you just don't let that guy, and once again, that's Greg Dortch, you don't let that guy loose. Other than that, you can really play downhill on it. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Once again, this show is sponsored by Lewis Marquez. Give Lewis a call if you have any real estate needs in the greater Jacksonville area. That's 850-443-5797, or email him at lewismarquez@kw.com. Mention to him that you heard about him through this podcast. Once again, this is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
I made this.